How could we give it an key? Save in Dab and Dab key. See my put an object down key. See Purush Dab Chetra key. See Ganga Maiki Jai. See Jamuna Maiki Jai. Bhakti Devi ki Jai. Tosi Devi Maharani ki Jai. Kantaraj Simad Bhagavatam ki Jai. Nitai Gora Premanandi. All glories to the Sampada Vatis. All glories to the Sampada Vatis. All glories to the Sampada Vatis. All glory to C.C. Guru Maharaj, all glory to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
To the Lord in the Heart, text number 25. Tad Vishvanabhim Tvativarja Vishno.
Tad Vishvanabhim Tvativarja Vishno.
Aniyasa Virajinatmanaika. Namaskritam Brahmavidam Upaiti. Kalpayusho yad vibhudharamante. Tat.
That.
Vishvanabhim.
Vishvanabhim.
Navel of the Universal Personality of Godhead.
Ativartya,
crossing over.
Vishnu.
Of Lord Vishnu. The personality of Godhead. Aniyasa. Due to mystic perfection. Virajena. By the purified. Atmana. By the living entity. Ekaha. Alone. Namaskritam. Worshipable.
Brahmavidam.
By those who are transcendentally situated.
Upayati.
Riches.
Kalpa Ayushaha.
A period of 4,300 million solar years.
Yat.
The place.
Vibhudha.
Self-realized soul. Ramante. Do enjoy. This Sishumara is the pivot for the turning of the complete universe, and it is called the navel of Vishnu. Garbhadakashaya Vishnu. The yogi alone goes beyond this circle of Sishumara and attains the planet Mahaloka, where purified saints like Bhrigu enjoy a duration of life of 4,300 million solar years. This planet is worshipable even for the saints who are transcendentally situated. Text 26. Ato anantasya mukanalena tandhayamanam samiriksha vishvam. Niryati siddheshvara yushta jishnyam yadvai parardhyam tadupparameshyam. At the time of the final devastation of the complete universe, the end of the duration of Brahma's life, A flame of fire emanates from the mouth of Ananta, from the bottom of the universe. The yogi sees all the planets of the universe burning to ashes, and thus he leaves for Satya Loka by aeroplanes used by the great purified souls. The duration of life in Satya Loka is calculated to be a lot. Not quite sure. It's 15,480,000 years. Inconceivable. Excuse me. Purport. It is indicated herein that the residents of Mahaloka, where the purified living entities or demigods possess a duration of life calculated to be 4,300,000,000 solar years, have airships by which they reach Satyaloka, the topmost planet of the universe. In other words, the Srimad Bhagavatam gives us many clues about other planets far, far away from us, which modern planes and spacecraft cannot reach even by imaginary speeds. The statements of Srimad Bhagavatam are accepted by great acharyas like Sridhar Swami, Ramanuja Acharya, and Vallabha Acharya. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically accepts Srimad Bhagavatam as the spotless Vedic authority. And as such, no sane man can ignore the statements of Srimad Bhagavatam when it is spoken by the self-realized soul, Srila Sukadeva Goswami, who follows in the footsteps of his great father, Srila Vyasadeva, the compiler of all Vedic literatures. In the creation of the Lord, there are many wonderful things we can see with our own eyes every day and night. But we are unable to reach them equipped by modern materialistic science. We should not therefore depend on the fragmentary authority of materialistic science for knowing things beyond the range of scientific purview. For a common man, both modern science and Vedic wisdom are simply to be accepted because none of the statements either of modern science or of Vedic literature can be verified by him. The alternative for a common man is to believe either of them or both of them. The Vedic way of understanding, however, is more authentic because it has been accepted by the Acharyas, who are not only faithful and learned men, but are also liberated souls without any of the flaws of conditioned souls. The modern scientists, however, are conditioned souls liable to so many errors and mistakes. Therefore, the safe side is to accept the authentic version of Vedic literatures like Srimad Bhagavatam, which is accepted unanimously by the great Acharyas. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Upakada Mahayam Dadatit Svapadam Tikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatkripa tamaham bande sri guru dinatarinam. So the residents of Mahaloka live for 4,300 million solar years. Those in Satya Loka live for 15,480,000 million years. 15 million million. So that's a lot. When the saints and sages of Mahaloka witness the devastation of the universal creation, then they leave Mahaloka and ascend to Satyaloka. So, as Prabhupada says here, the Srimad Bhagavatam gives us many clues about other planets far, far away from us. Now, how are we going to ascertain, how are we going to determine whether the residents of Mahaloka live for 4,300 million years? And how are we going to work at, and what to speak of the residents of Mahaloka, how are we going to determine that the residents of Satyaloka live for more than twice that amount of time? How are we going to find that out? We only live, how many years do we live?
Maximum
100. You probably wouldn't want to live to 100 years of age. So painful. So, this presents us with a bit of a conundrum or a dilemma, because these statements aren't verifiable by us. We can't verify these statements of the Bhagavatam and the other Vedic literatures. We are limited by the material body that we've been awarded as a result of our karmas. Not possible for us to ascertain the truth of the Vedas, unless one knows the science. There is a science to ascertaining the truth of the Bhagavatam. If the whole purpose of the Bhagavatam, the whole purpose of the Vedas, is to give us knowledge. Veda means knowledge. And to come to the end of all knowledge, Vedanta, is the real purpose of studying the Vedas, is the real purpose of existence, actually. And we have a choice. It's interesting what Prabhupada says here. The Bhagavatam and the Vedas give us clues of realms of experience, of existence, that are beyond our ken, beyond our ability to know and experience. Even as Prabhupada says, you know, we can have modern spaceships and modern planes, And even if we were travelling at speeds that are unimaginable to us, or imaginable, in the sense that you have to be going very, very fast, you still wouldn't get to these locations. They're so distant. You know, I was reading the other day that they're looking for recruits for one-way trips to Mars. Huh? One-way trips to Mars.
One way.
Yeah, only one way. Only one-way trips. And you have to pay for the privilege. You pay for a one-way trip to Mars. And then, you know, it's not guaranteed that you'll be able to live there when you get there. And neither will you be able to do anything about it. So, just extraordinarily... And as Prabhupada says here, the Bhagavad Gita gives us many clues, much information. Now he says, important point, especially for us, acharya-upasanam, we worship the acharyas. Why do we worship the acharyas? Because the acharyas they understand the purport, and they understand the application of the knowledge which is given to us in the Vedas, especially in our line of understanding things, in our parampara, in our school, if you like, or in our discipline, like a faculty in a college, in a university, so that the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya holds the Srimad Bhagavatam as the pinnacle of Vedic knowledge. And the Vedas, and especially the Srimad Bhagavatam, are accepted by great acharyas. Like Sridhar Swami, Ramanujacharya, Vallabha Acharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's Krishna himself. Lord Chaitanya specifically accepts Srimad Bhagavatam as the spotless Vedic authority. What is it? Amalam Puranam. Pure. Without contamination, without any material defect. Aparushaya. Not created by human beings. The Srimad Bhagavatam is presented by Śrīla Vyāsadeva. Vyāsadeva is an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He divided the Vedas up into four because he could see into the future. And he could see the qualifications of the personalities, the persons of Kali Yuga. Prayana payusha sabhya kalovasmin yuge janaha manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya hi upadrutaha. He could see that in previous ages, Prabhupada explains, in previous ages, this system of receiving knowledge from the guru or from the spiritual master through inquiry, submission, inquiry, and service. The student or the disciples were so qualified that once having heard the instructions from the spiritual master, they would remember them. They wouldn't forget them. Such were the qualities. You know, we can't even remember what it is, what we were discussing yesterday in the Srimad Bhagavatam class. What was that? You can remember. So, you know, Vyasadeva could see so therefore he compiled the Vedic literature and wrote it down. And then divided it up into four. Yajna, Sama, Atava, what's the other one? Rig, Vedas. And then gave them to his disciples so that that knowledge would be disseminated. All written down. And even in this day and age, much of that knowledge is lost. The work that Vyasadeva did is lost. So we're very fortunate to have the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is Vyasadeva's natural commentary on his Vedanta Sutra. The Vedanta Sutra is the summary of all of the Vedic literature. Basic spiritual concepts that are presented in sutra form, you know, very simply presented. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the expansion of that information, accepted by our acharyas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vallabhacharya, Ramanujacharya, Sridhar Swami. So Prabhupada says here, you know, if we're to follow this system, our system is to worship the previous acharyas. And we worship them by following their instructions, by following their example. They followed the Vedic tradition. They embrace the knowledge that is presented in the Srimad Bhagavatam, put it into practice, and as a result of their practice, they became self-realized. So we worship them. And we worship them by following their example and following their instructions. You know, one approaches a spiritual master to receive knowledge. And the perfection of knowledge is found in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Where is it? Nigama kalpa taro galitam phalam sukam mukam amrita dravya samyutam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is considered to be the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic knowledge. Right? You know, in the Vedas contain all knowledge, basically. It may not be extant, but in its original form, the Vedas, just like Prabhupada gives the example, when you when you buy a machine, along with the machine comes a manual how to use it, and you accept, you know, the manual that comes with the machine, say, you know, a computer. Although these days it comes on a CD, it doesn't come as a book. But basically the information is there. You accept that as authoritative. And it describes how to use the machine. Here's the on-off switch. Here's the disk drive. Here's the USB port. Here's the screen. So much information. How to use it. So similarly also, with the material creation, which is basically a machine, it comes with a manual. That manual is the Vedic knowledge. And it contains all kind of information. How to order and structure society. The Varnashram system. Medicine, Ayurveda. How to be healthy. Or Dhanurveda, how to fight your enemies. Huh? Jyotish, mathematics. Astrology, you know, how to determine your future. How to determine your current status. The qualities and qualifications that you might have, and then how to utilize them so that you can take advantage, especially in the human form of life. So, you know, material knowledge is contained within the Vedas. How to use the material creation in order to live within it prosperously. How to prosper and survive, or survive and prosper. No? The essence of the real valuable information, the essence of all the ripened fruit of that Vedic knowledge, is that information which teaches us who we really are. That we are spiritual by nature, that we have a relationship with the absolute source of everything, and that if we use our material facilities properly, we can prosper materially, but also flourish spiritually. The non-material aspects of existence are explained and described, and how to realize one's spiritual identity. That's the, you know, the ABCs are found in the Bhagavad Gita. The postgraduate study, or the graduate study, is the study of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is considered to be the proper cultivation of knowledge. The Vedas are considered to be the speaking of the personality of Godhead himself. The absolute truth. And so therefore the Vedas are accepted unequivocally, or they're accepted fully as the proper source of knowledge. And it was understood, you know, we don't create learning or understanding of things, as is the modern, you know, the modern concept is by exploration, by discovery, by research, we can come to all conclusions. But what we see with that process is, you know, today we have an understanding of things, but then tomorrow it changes. And then the next year it's a new concept. Whereas the Vedic concept is established and presented in an authoritative fashion. So Prabhupada says here, no sane man can ignore the statements of Srimad Bhagavatam when it is spoken by a self-realized person like Sukadeva Goswami, who's teaching what he's learned. This is the parampara system. This is the proper method of receiving knowledge. He's received that understanding from Srila Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva is the personality of Godhead himself, the compiler of the Vedic literatures. This is our method of acquiring knowledge. Now it's interesting what Prabhupada says here. In the creation of the Lord, there are many wonderful things we can see with our own eyes every day and night. You know, when I was a kid, 4 or 5 years old, I remember going out into the backyard of my house and looking up at the sky and seeing all the stars and thinking, wow, what's out there? What's going on out there? Huh? Wonderful things. You don't see it in the city so much, but go down the farm where there's no lights and look up in the sky and see the Milky Way and all of the stars and all of the things that are described here in the Bhagavatam, actually. And Prabhupada says here, we are unable to reach them equipped by modern materialistic science. We should not therefore depend on the fragmentary authority of materialistic science. Fragmentary means what? What's a fragment? Huh? A fragment. What's a fragment? Yes, a small part. Just a small part. Based on their observation. And that's faulty. Huh? Reason why we don't accept knowledge from faulty human beings is because, well, they've got faults. What does Prabhupada say? Make mistakes. Right? Great men make mistakes. What are the examples that Prabhupada gives of men who made mistakes? Mahatma Gandhi. Yes. Mahatma Gandhi was a great man in the estimation of some. And he was told by his friends, don't go to this meeting. There are people who are going to kill you. But he made a mistake. And he went. And what happened? Huh? He got shot. Yeah. Was he killed on the spot? Yeah? Yeah?
Good.
Who's another example that Prabhupada gives of a man who made a mistake? Yeah. Not, but I don't think in relationship to having making mistakes. John F. Kennedy, the other example. In the introduction to the Isipanishad, Prabhupada talks about these four defects. We make mistakes. What else do? We cheat. We're cheaters. We don't know anything, but we present ourselves as if we know everything. Right? You can see this. No. I know everything better than you. Imperfect senses. What's the example that Prabhupada gives of imperfect senses? Yeah, when we look at the sun in the sky, what do we see? Just a little disc. But the sun is a huge planet. And what's the other example that Prabhupada gives? What can you see anyway? When the lights go out, what can you see? Nothing. What's the power of your seeing? Huh? Time to go to work. Huh? 8:30. Subject to illusion. We're subject to illusion. We've got imperfect senses. We're not able to perceive. You know, what's going on outside the temple room? We can't tell. We can't see. We can't see through the walls. We don't know. And we're subject to illusion. We accept that which is not. We accept the body as the self. But actually, we're not the body. We're spiritual by nature. The body is just a vehicle that carries the soul. But we accept the body as real. This is illusion. So, we've got imperfect senses. We're subject to illusion. We make mistakes. But we present ourselves as if we know everything.
Cheating.
We're cheaters. So this is why the acharyas recommend don't trust your imperfect senses. And even as Prabhupada says here, you know, how are we going to verify? We can't verify what the Vedas say, neither can we verify what the scientists say. Right? But the Acharyas, our disciplic line, Srila Prabhupada, had great faith and belief in and acceptance of the Vedic version. You know what? The classic example is Srila Prabhupada never accepted, you know, that the man had landed on the moon. Never accepted it. The devotees, there was a moon landing, and the Prabhupada was in London. And the devotees got they hired a television set. Right? And the television was set up in the room, and the devotees were all watching, and they were getting excited, especially one devotee, Purushottam. And there was another devotee, I can't remember who it was massaging Prabhupada's head. Right? And so they were watching, you know, the moon landing, and the Prabhupada said to the devotee who was massaging his head, he said, "Sit down in front of me." So he sat down in front of Prabhupada, and he wasn't sure what Prabhupada wanted. And then Prabhupada started massaging his head. He said, "You've forgotten how to massage. So showing him how to massage." Because he was so distracted by the television, he was watching the television. So then Prabhupada said, "Okay, now do it." And then he was massaging Prabhupada's head. And then Prabhupada said, "Come and sit in front of me again, will you? You've forgotten how to massage." He was just distracted by watching the television. So anyway, then Prabhupada was asking, "Oh, they've gone to the moon," and they say, "Yes, Prabhupada, they've landed on the moon." And Prabhupada said, "Are there any people there?" And they said, "No." And he said, "Any houses?" They said, "No." "Any trees?" "No." And Prabhupada said, "They haven't gone to the moon. This is not the moon." It didn't tally with what is described in the Vedas. So Prabhupada said, "They haven't gone to the moon. They've gone somewhere, but they didn't go to the moon." Because it doesn't tally with the Vedic description of what the moon is like. Now, how are we going to verify that? We can't go to the moon to find out what's there. But we can read the instructions, the descriptions that are given within the Vedas. Later on, that devotee Purushottam had a deep crisis of faith because he believed very strongly, "Yes, we went to the moon." And he left. He stopped paying his obeisances to Prabhupada. He was Prabhupada's servant, and he stopped paying his obeisances and just wanted to leave the association of the devotees. And Prabhupada talked him into staying for a few more days, and which he did. And then he left, and Prabhupada lent him the bus fare to leave. And he paid Prabhupada back. But Prabhupada later on was talking to one of the devotees, I think it might have been Hayagriva, one of the devotees, and he said to him, he said, "I can't understand why he would leave. I can understand that he wouldn't believe me, but how could he not believe what's written in the Vedas? What's written in the Shastra?" So this was Prabhupada's strong faith, and the faith in the disciplic succession, the faith in the parampara, and the rejection of the science, so-called science of the materialistic man, because they're faulty, they have defects, they make mistakes, they imperfect senses, subject to illusion. And then even though they're influenced by these faults, presenting themselves as if they're greatly learned, with knowledge that's impossible for us to verify. So Prabhupada says here, we should not therefore depend on the fragmentary authority of materialistic science for knowing things beyond the range of scientific purview. Now, interesting, Prabhupada says we've got a choice. For a common man, both modern science and Vedic wisdom are simply to be accepted. Why? Because none of the statements, either of modern science or of Vedic literature, can be verified by him. Right? The alternative for a common man is to believe either of them or both of them. Right? Got a choice. We can believe the scientists or the Vedas, or we can believe both of them. Right? Which one do you think Prabhupada's recommending?
Shastras. Shastras.
The what?
Shastras.
The Shastras. Yeah. Because what does Prabhupada say? So he says the alternative for a common man is to believe either of them, that's one or the other, or both. Not possible to believe in both of them because they're contradictory. But Prabhupada says here, the Vedic way of understanding, however, is more authentic. Why? Because it has been accepted by the Acharyas. It's been accepted by the Vedic authorities, the previous Acharyas. Why? Because they're not only faithful and learned men, but are also liberated souls. So they're free from defects. They follow the process of the Vedas. Sorry, they've accepted the teachings of the Vedas. They've learned how to apply those teachings by hearing from their spiritual master. And as a result of applying the learning that they've been taught through the process of devotional service, they've become liberated souls, free from the influence of the material energy. And so therefore, without the flaws of conditioned persons, personalities, this is the system. The modern scientists, however, are conditioned souls liable to so many errors and mistakes. Therefore, the safe side is to accept the authentic version of Vedic literatures, like Srimad Bhagavatam, which is accepted unanimously by the great Acharya. So that was Prabhupada's point. I could accept it that he didn't believe me. This is Prabhupada's strong faith in the Shastra. But how could he not believe the teachings of the Vedas? They've been accepted by all of the previous Acharyas who were liberated personalities, free from the defects of conditioned souls. That's the system. That's the system of understanding. We can't go and verify these things. Not possible. Even my father was telling me he doesn't believe that they went to the moon. So it just looks like Arizona desert. Huh? It's a very interesting purport. Prabhupada tells us, you know, there's a sane and authentic way of receiving knowledge. That is to take the knowledge that is given to us in the Vedas through the methodology of our parampara. That's our discipline. Just like there's a discipline if you go to the university and you want to become a graduate or a postgraduate or a professor in a particular discipline, then you have to follow the system of that particular discipline, of that faculty. So we have a discipline and a way of understanding, a methodology for applying learning to achieve knowledge, basically. That process is learned from the spiritual master. One should be inquisitive. One has to. This is the qualification. The qualification of a transcendentalist is that one is inquisitive. And inquisitive about spiritual topics, not about how to be wealthy, how to be healthy, how to be influential. You know, from a materialistic point of view, waste of time. Or from a spiritual point of view, waste of time. Even from the material point of view, waste of time. Because it doesn't last. So the transcendentalists inquire about that learning and that understanding which is never depleted, which is never lost. Which is a permanent understanding. Na sato vijate bhavo, na bhavo vijate sataha. They're not interested in the temporary, because they know that temporary is limited and is bound by the time factor. 1 minute here, next minute gone. Or nothing, something, back to nothing again. Not interested in those things because it is not permanent. But of the permanent, of the spiritual, which is eternal, that's their focus, that's their inquiry. And that is the Bhagavatam concentrates on the eternal, not on the material ephemeral. And the process of bhakti reconnects us to our eternal position. That's the most important learning. You know, in one sense, how many years do people live on Mahaloka or Satyaloka? It doesn't really matter, in one sense. It's interesting information. But most important, there's more important information in the Vedas. That understanding of our spiritual identity. That we arrive at through a very simple process, actually. Just chanting Hare Krishna for us. This part of the Bhagavatam is describing the elevation of the yogis, right? Performing great austerities and being elevated to the higher planetary systems and then gradually being taken into the from Mahaloka to Satyaloka, then eventually Satyaloka with Lord Brahma at the final dissolution of the universe, then back to the spiritual world. But you know, how are we going to be elevated to the Mahaloka? Any ideas? Huh? By bhakti. But even that's not recommended. Is it? Go to Satyaloka, Mahaloka. It's not recommended. Just chant Hare Krishna. In this is why Kali Yuga is considered even though it's got so many disqualifications, right? What is it? What's that verse? Yeah, that's it. What's the first line? Kali dosha nidhi rajan, right? Kali Yuga is considered to be an ocean of faults. Short-lived, poor health, no good food, polluted, you name it. Everybody's confused. Everybody's disturbed. Right? Hi upadruttaha. You know, we're here at the moment and everything's very peaceful. Right? And settled. Very sattvic. But just go and stand on the side of Kerford Road. And people looking very serious. I'm important in my BMW. Very bewildering state of existence in the Kali Yuga, but good quality is that we can chant Hare Krishna. Kalo tad hari kirtana. Is that right? That's our system. So even, you know, this is quite amazing that people can live for so long. But we, in the Kali Yuga, we are given the opportunity to perfect our existence in less than 100 years. If we can chant properly. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasdeva, 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 Gatiran Yata. That's our system. That's the most important aspect of Vedic learning, Vedic understanding. Lord Chaitanya is kind of the amalgamation of the different Vaishnava parampara. And his instruction is just chant Hare Krishna. Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Hare Nam. Not yoga, not karma, not jnana, not yoga, but bhakti. That's the real, and that's the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. But, you know, this information is given, the information of the structure of the universe and the nature of universal affairs, so we have a broad perspective of the domain or the universal affairs and the environment in which we exist. How broad and how expansive it is, and how powerful the Lord is. Yet he says this whole creation is just like a little bit of what he is capable of manifesting. So our system of learning or receiving knowledge is to take it from the Vedic source, and then we apply that learning following the instruction of the spiritual master. So even though we're being given information of, you know, Mahaloka, Satchaloka, actually we're not encouraged to go to these places. Right? We're not encouraged to go to these places and live for 4,300 million years. Especially in the Kali Yuga, we've got the opportunity to perfect our existence simply by chanting Hare Krishna. That's our process, our science actually. The science that we learn is that avoid offences in chanting Hare Krishna. So does anyone have any comments or questions?
You know, Germans learn Bhagavatam. And they developed so many things like flying.
Oh, the Germans?
Yeah. Light brothers.
Oh, yeah.
200 years back, they would fly. That's how we...
They got the ideas from the Vedas, huh? How to fly.
And how Max Müller studied in New Delhi, Max Müller Bhavan, very big building, and he was in the library. So we can see proof that whatever is written in Bhagavatam is correct. Man can fly without any wings.
You reckon the Wright brothers were reading the Vedas?
They did.
I don't know about that, but anyway. Yeah.
Max Müller did it. They were close to his home.
Anything else?
Today is when Srila Prabhupada took sannyas.
Yes.
You want to tell something more?
Today is the day that Prabhupada took sannyas.
Left his material world completely.
It's also the day that Vishvarupa, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's brother, took sannyas. Prabhupada said that he didn't want to take sannyas. He already was a sannyasi, and he's humbly presented himself as saying, like, it was. But you know, sannyas means to dedicate oneself to the instructions of the spiritual master. And that's what Srila Prabhupada did. He dedicated himself to the order of his spiritual master. And that order was to preach Krishna consciousness in English in the West. So and deep abiding faith in the Vedic literature, we can see that Prabhupada spent so much time every day, practically speaking, he would spend an hour or two translating the Srimad Bhagavatam and presenting it comprehensively. Even though he knew people couldn't necessarily accept it. Isn't it? You know, when you think about it, Prabhupada, when he came to Boston Pier, in his prayer, he says, you know, how will these people accept what I'm about to teach them? Prabhupada wasn't sure whether they would reject him or not when he came. And you know, when you read the Srimad Bhagavatam, it says its purpose is to create a revolution. Right? In the life of a misdirected civilization. So Prabhupada was presenting almost, you know, the antithesis of modern scientific knowledge and learning. Right? Radical. Presenting the Srimad Bhagavatam. Such great faith in the Vedas. So that, you know, when the devotees were looking at the television and describing what was on the moon, Prabhupada was there. He must have been watching it. But he said, you know, are there any trees? No trees. No people, no houses. No, they're not on the moon. Deep faith, abiding faith. Okay, Gandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaurabhakta Vrinda ki jai.